This is the Art Beauty Podcast, where we tell the real truth about the fake shit. Hi, everyone. I'm Amber, and today my fabulous co-host is Amitai Eshel. He is the founder and CEO of Young Goose, which is the first biohacking skincare company. I'm so excited and honored to have you on the show today because we're really going to kind of get into the science of biohacking, what it is, what it's all about. So thank you so much for being with us today, Amitai.
The pleasure is mine. I'm very excited to do this with you.
Okay, so before we get into having you talk nerdy to us, where are you right now?
We're in Miami. Normally, people are jealous of us being in Miami right now. No one should be jealous.
Well, okay, you know what? I know it's hot, but it's hot there for like 2 months, and then the rest of the year, it's gorgeous and fabulous. So yeah. I'm going to play the world's smallest violin because I always tell people it's not, if I'm moving to Florida, it's when. So you're in Miami, but why don't you tell us, I know that you are an entrepreneur in the biohacking and beauty fields, mm-hmm. and this concept of biohacking, I feel like is relatively new, but might be to some of our listeners something that they're like, what does that even mean? So can you tell us a little bit about what biohacking is?
Yeah, biohacking can also be described as health optimization, but through technology, basically. So to differentiate, maybe like, eating the right amount, and the right foods would not be really considered biohacking, whereas like a red light therapy or even like a vampire facial technically is like biohacking, right? So biohacking is improving or affecting our biology through changing our environment, either around us or the environment within our body. And then we can control the biology in the way that we would like it to go. And most of it is geared towards healthier living and longevity.
Right. So when we're talking about this in relation to skincare, and I know we've had Jan Marini on here. She's kind of touched a little bit on this concept mm-hmm. of how we can biohack, with nutrition, certain things she's mentioned like NAD plus resveratrol. And I know we're going to talk about those today. But when it comes to skincare, what is it that we're trying to do when we are sort of biohacking?
Well, that's a great question. And actually, I think there are two sides of the coin there. The first is obviously a lot of the people who are interested in that space, in health optimization in general, really are interested at the end of the road in looking better and having their best self kind of presented.
Right.
Or maybe trying to match their inner youthfulness, the way that they feel inside, have that person look at them when they look in the mirror. So that's one side of that coin, which is interesting to people. But another one is what we're learning from science of the last 20 years, and especially in the last 10 years, is that the skin actually is a driver of overall aging. So, there are studies that really demonstrate beautifully the fact that we can kind of gauge someone's biological age, which when I say biological age is different from the age that's reflected from our driver license, right?
Our chronological age, right?
Exactly. That's the age that we really are kind of biologically. So the skin really kind of tells the story of that age. We can defer, what is the, we can infer what's the biological age from looking at the person, but really, there is a flip side to that. The skin and the way that it ages affects our entire organism's biological age in a way that, and I'm sure we're going to get more into that, but it is a real driver. And if we can, affect our skin's age, we are effectively changing our biological age as a whole.
So at the end of the day, it sounds like really all of this is about kind of cellular optimization, correct? Getting our cells to function at their very best.
Yes. Even though when we're talking about cellular optimization, I think people can get confused because normally if you think of You know, what we want to achieve, we want to look good right now. We want to look our best right now, but it could be a sacrifice in the way that we look in 5, 10, 20 years. Obviously, we can go to the extreme. We can say we don't want to get, you know, all the surgeries that we can right now because we're actually sacrificing the our ability to get surgery later. We can talk about, for example, going from very easy to explain to a little bit more difficult to explain. But if we had, you know, copious amounts of radio frequency, let's say to cut some volume off our tummy, it's going to be more difficult to get plastic surgery there in the future because we're creating scar tissue. So that's an interesting way to look at it. But there is also a cellular component to the same thing that I'm talking about. So okay, if you look at classical medical skincare in the last 20 years, you'll see a lot of stimulation for repair through peeling and things like that, right? Unfortunately, what we see with people who have been doing it for 20 years is that they have been sacrificing reservoirs that their skin is going to need to maintain itself and to repair itself as time goes on. So their skin is more, you know, fragile. It is more easily damaged. Right now, it's thinner. It is less elastic as a whole. Okay, and that is a dance we have to kind of dance. How much vitality do we want to keep for later, and how much do we want to look good today? And actually, that's the way our body works as a whole. And an example I really like giving is a lion. Okay. Think of a lion. The lion's job in its entire existence is to have as many offspring and to pass its genes onwards, right? So if it's not the leader of the pack at the moment, what does it genetically need to do? It needs to kind of hibernate and keep its reservoirs of vitality, for that matter, its strength for when he can challenge for seniority.
Okay.
If he's senior, then some of those genes really flip and maintain him at the peak of its activity. But if there is if he's not the leader of the pack, if there's someone stronger, you don't want to waste all of that energy and not be the strongest. You kind of need to bite your time.
Okay.
And our cells really work in the same way because these mechanisms kind of developed in us as well. If we are looking at cellular optimization, and we are trying to have our cells cranked up in full throttle, we're sacrificing the future. So there's, yeah.
I mean, my mind is just blown right now because, you know, in the 2+ years that I've been doing this podcast and the 20 years that I've been in this industry, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, collagen production through this repair response, even retinols, you know,
yeah,
by creating sort of this, you know, quote unquote, damage, you're forcing your body into a repair mode, which is going to help build collagen and give you more structure and, you know, a more youthful appearance. But you're actually saying that that can be harmful?
Well, yes. And I'm not only saying that it's harmful, I'm saying that we are glazing over a word that should be really used anytime we're talking about repair or anytime we're talking about basically any stimulation in our body, which is stress.
Right.
So whether we're talking about stress that leads to a positive response like working out, or if we're talking about bad stress like mental stress that creates a lot of cortisol and, you know, its effects on our body. Obviously, we can look at U.S. presidents and what happens to them due to stress, you know, in 4 or 8 years. But everything has to be tied to stress in order for us to really understand that and to understand that this is what we call a biphasic dose response. Too little is not going to do anything. There's the Goldilocks zone, and then there's too much.
Got it. Okay. So like other things you're talking about, we have to find that sweet spot.
We are. And by the way, when we're talking about stimulation of collagen or of anything else, or you know, kind of diminishing hyperpigmentation or laxity, which is more tied to elastin, or we can go on and on and on. We are sacrificing something that is called our high flick limit or our telomeres. So basically, we have every cell in our body has like a limit to the amount that it can divide itself, that it can basically create a new cell out of itself or new cells out of itself. And that depends on the end of our DNA, which are called telomeres, which are like, if you imagine like a shoelace, that's the plastic on the shoelace, okay? So it kind of keeps our DNA together from unraveling. That's really what it does. But every time that our cells divide, they sacrifice some of that plastic. And when there's no more plastic, they're just not going to divide anymore. So that is really, but there are things that we can do like elevating NAD levels that can repair some of that plastic. But in general, we're working against a ticking clock here. And the more we're asking our body to undergo that renewal, that splitting of cells, the further along that process we're going.
It's like we're borrowing time.
We are. Basically. And even if you think of gray hair, by the way, or even if we think of any type of, again, stressor that kind of ages us, we are borrowing. What we're doing is we're depleting reservoirs such as stem cells and things like that. So that actually, all of that stress, whether it's positive or negative, that is what it does. Stress means calling on future reservoirs.
Whew, okay. You know what? I mean, I feel like we could talk about this for hours. Mm-hmm. You totally blew my mind with that, because that's not where I thought we were going to go. But you know, really quickly on this. So are you kind of anti like radio frequency and lasers and all of those things?
No. So I'm an amateur athlete. I spend at least 2 hours a day. I love a sport called jujitsu, which is a type of martial art. And that's extremely hard on the body. And that is that's where my ego is parked. I really, really want to perform well every day when I go to the gym, when I'm sparring other people, etc. And I'm sacrificing some of my later on in life, joint health or whatever it is, in order to satisfy my ego at the moment. Okay, there I'm going a little bit overboard of what would be a healthy dose of daily exercise. So, but I'm doing it for the mental component. That is what drives me in life. And we're not like robots. That's my philosophy. We're not just here to pass through life without having fun or without enjoying it. So if you're not going to satisfy your inner drive and cravings or whatever you want to call it, then you're going to be paying for it in other types of stress, like mental stress, etc. And that's why I'm saying that is really about a balance, right?
Right.
I run a pretty fast-growing company. It's a lot of moving parts, which creates a lot of stress. My way to offset some of that stress is by working out very, very hard. So what's going to happen, and I can tell you what happens if a few days we're in a conference and I'm not working out, I'm not feeling the same, the same energy mentally, etc. So I'm not anti-lasers or radio frequency, even though radio frequency in my eyes is a little bit more problematic, especially the way that people are doing it on average right now. But I am anti trying to maximize. I am anti friends of mine texting me, my esthetician wanted to do in the same day a peel, IPL, mesotherapy, and top it off with some kind of another stimulatory you know, ingredient there. Yeah, I'm really against it because we're going overboard.
Gotcha. You know what? I'm going to, so I want to make sure we have time to get to some of the ingredients and then also to talk about your company. I might bring you back to talk a little bit more about this because, you know, it's good to hear considerations. You know, I myself have been in the chair and recently did, you know, this dual laser that was, you know, essentially like an IPL and then a radio frequency CO2. It was a lot. Laser, it was a lot. It's got it. So not an RF. I think it was RF microneedling. Mm-hmm. It was RF microneedling and then a CO2 laser. So I might want to bring you back to talk about some of the things that we should be considering when we're doing that in terms of longevity. And I've certainly heard before, you know, things like threads, right? Everybody's really into these threads now, but I talked to a doctor and one of the things he said was, well, if you ever think you might want a facelift later on, it can be problematic mm-hmm. because it's creating scar tissue. Mm-hmm. So before we digress too much, we will maybe bring you back for that because it's an interesting topic. And listen, if you're listening at home and you want to hear more about that, hit us up, write me at info or hello at rpdpodcast.com and we'll work on getting Amitay back for that. But let's talk about, you know, when we're talking about biohacking, bring it back to some of these ingredients for skincare mm-hmm. that you are finding are sort of having positive steps. Yeah. You know, towards our overall appearance. And starting with one that we've heard of before, NAD plus.
Yeah.
What is this?
Okay. So before we're getting to what NAD plus is, I really want to make sure I make the listener understand that we're going to be looking at how the skin not only performs as an organ and as its own organ. Obviously, the minute I'm saying the word organ, I think to me, at least, I'm getting an association with like full body response, right? It's contributing to the way our full body functions. And that is one of the reasons that we want to get into those ingredients and think of using them is because we're affecting how we're aging as a whole. And the reason is because NAD, basically, the person who discovered it and how it functions won the Nobel Prize. It's called the molecule of life. If I take it out of your body, you're going to be dead in 30 seconds. And it really is, you could think of it as repair fuel or cellular fuel. That's what our cells really use for fuel. That's what our mitochondria, which is kind of the engine of our cells, uses fuel. And every enzyme that is responsible for repair or different reactions in the body is using. So, the body really recycles most of its NAD, most of that fuel it can recycle. But as we know, the body is not perfect. The body doesn't do things perfectly over time. And with the time, NAD declines. And with that, it's not like the car's engine, whether we're having full tank or, you know, the fuel light comes on, the car is going to run the same. Our body isn't really functioning that way. So the lower NAD levels we're having, the more things go wrong.
Okay.
And I would like people who are listening and you to consider aging as the accumulation of unrepaired damage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So basically we have damage, the body repairs it. Once the damage stays and accumulates, that's really how we can look at aging from a deconstructed level. And NAD is the culprit for that accumulation. So every time the cell, the enzyme, whatever that is, the function doesn't have enough fuel to repair, then that damage accumulates. So it really starts to decline dramatically around age 30, late 20s, 30. And by the time we're 60, the body has about half the amount that it needs. And we're really looking at really any type of aging that you can think of would trace back to that lack of NAD.
So is NAD, you know, is this something that is only found naturally occurring in the body? Is it something that we can source? Like when we talk about retinols, retinoids, that's a vitamin A derivative, you know, resveratrol we know comes sort of from the grape. I believe, yeah. Right? So is NAD, and is it NAD or NAD plus? Is there
NAD
a difference?
Plus, NAD plus. So NAD is the molecule, and then the charge that it holds is the plus or minus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just call it NAD, you know, in conversation. Good. This is what we're trying to learn here. So is that something that is found elsewhere? Is it something that we can get, you know, sort of from external sources?
Yeah, that's a good question. So NAD as a molecule, the question is the best question to ask, but it's also irrelevant. And I'll explain why. Because NAD only, our body really knows what to do with it inside our cell. Okay. So if we think of fuel again, fuel doesn't exist in nature the way that our car needs it, right? It exists as crude oil or whatever. And then there's a process that needs to happen for our cars to be able to use it, or the engine in the car. So the same thing as far as like exogenous NAD building blocks and the NAD that is existing within our cell. So if we gave our body NAD, our body is actually going to break it down to those building blocks, get it in the cell, and then use it. So actually, we don't want to give it NAD because it actually elongates a process that can be simpler by giving it the building blocks. So vitamin B3, niacin, is a building block for NAD. By the way, I'm going to switch from using building block to using the word precursor, just to be more accurate. But that's what it means. So a precursor to NAD would be niacin. The one that makes you flush, by the way, the one that does make you flush, there's a little caveat there. We don't really want to use it. Tryptophan is another one.
Okay.
So eating turkey. But the best sources or the best precursors are ones that are very rare in nature, are ones that our body kind of produces out of different molecules, and they're called NR and NMN. If anyone knows of a book called Lifespan by Dr. David Sinclair from Harvard, which is a New York Times bestseller, it's kind of the holy grail for anti-aging as far as the book. It really is about NAD precursors such as NMN. Now, these molecules, the body knows what to do with them. It knows how to get them into the cell. It's a very easy, quick process. It actually has specific highways for them within our body, within our cells, within every system, in order to get them like really fast into the cell, boom, create anything. Some issues are, where does it go when we feed it to the body? So when we, every organ really needs NAD and is starving basically out of NAD as we grow older. So if we just took a pill, the organs that are going to get it first are going to kind of monopolize the NAD supplementation. And most of them are going to be like the liver, then our muscles, brain, heart, etc. So that is not like the perfect way to take NAD if we are interested in skin anti-aging as a whole.
Okay.
If we think of NAD IVs, which are the most popular, but they're extremely expensive. They're $750, $1,000 per IV. The problem is that, again, we get it to the bloodstream. It disperses evenly throughout our body, mainly going to the muscles. But even if it reached our skin, it doesn't know to differentiate between the skin, between our eyebrows, the 11 lines, and the skin in the small of our back, right? It disperses evenly there as well. So what we did at Young Goose, which is a company that I co-founded and I'm the CEO of, is that we looked at a way to get NAD directly where we apply it to. And again, that's nice to have, but then we have to have the body use that NAD. So we were talking about resveratrol before. We used another patented version of resveratrol that's making it very bioavailable, et cetera, to have our body use NAD. So if we think of NAD as repair fuel, especially like cellular repair fuel, resveratrol is like the gas pedal for that, those repair processes. And unfortunately, kind of switching to resveratrol, most people don't know that resveratrol is toxic for the skin.
Oh.
Remember we spoke about stress, by the way?
Yeah.
So resveratrol is a stressor. And in the skin doesn't have the enzyme to break it down like our gut does. So it's actually toxic. And if we look at products that have resveratrol within them, most of the time it's going to be very low down the ingredient list, which means there is very low amount of it. It's just to write it on the label. So what we're doing is we're using a patented version, which is fermented, and then the enzyme that the skin needs that it doesn't have is actually being introduced in the fermentation process.
So why was everybody go gaga over resveratrol if it's something that's actually toxic to the skin?
Well, that's, I think, a whole different podcast, which is the way that decisions in formulations are being made. So if we look at companies right now that are using resveratrol, or companies that are using different type of clickbaity molecules, such as turmeric. So there is a big, huge company, probably the biggest company in our industry, that just made like a turmeric line. Why? Turmeric, we knew all its properties 30 years ago. So why are they doing it now? It's because you and I are bombarded with like information of how well turmeric works right now. And that's why. So it makes much more sense to use a molecule that the general public is educated on.
Okay. Gotcha. Marketing at its finest.
I mean, but that's how the world works. Like, we are dealing with a molecule like NAD, and look, I need to, you know, go on a 15-minute spiel to explain really why our skin needs it specifically. And we didn't even get to the main reason that we want to have it in the skin specifically, which I'm going to get to in a second. But
okay.
But that is kind of the reason that it is much more difficult to reach the largest audience you would like to reach. And when you're talking about a big company, it's millions of people worldwide, than our audience, which is more educated, smaller, et cetera. But so going back to why we really need these things to happen in the skin specifically, is I'm going to say something that is extremely controversial, but it is well substantiated by science. Our skin is affected more by the environment than our internal environment. So everyone that's telling you, oh, you know how I treat my skin? I'm just eating the right foods, etc. That's a nice story. But if you're going to you're going to live in a polluted area, you're going to get a lot of radiation and free radicals, and you're going to be in bathed by UV radiation, so in the sun, you are going to create more harm than by having a bad diet to your skin.
Right.
Okay. So our skin is externally aging more than internally aging.
Okay.
And what happens when we're exposed to this environment is we're actually incurring DNA damage. So that DNA damage is requiring a lot of NAD to repair. And that is why we have to have NAD supplied to the skin continuously. Every time we walk outside, our skin drinks up all its NAD reservoirs and is now depleted, and then it starts to incur damage. And, you know, there are health gurus out there that you look at their YouTube videos. I'm talking about like people who are interested in like cold exposure and saunas and this and that, intermittent fasting. And you see in the comments, like everyone commenting, all the bad comments. Of course, there are many good comments, but all the bad comments are commenting about the way that they look. And the reason is because if you're going to climb a mountain in your shorts, climb Mount Everest in your shorts, you may be making yourself a healthy organism, but you're definitely harming that, the skin.
Right. Okay. Whew. All right. So NAD, is something that we want our bodies to be continuously having. So let's talk about a little bit about Young Goose and what it is that you have done, you know, to ensure that the body is continuously getting that reservoir of NAD.
Yeah. So what we're doing is, remember I said that we have specific precursors or building blocks that have a higher, an easier time getting into the cells. But there is a problem with that I did mention. The reason that some of them are patented, even though our body produces them. So you can't really patent something that the body produces. And we see it all across the industry that there is a problem with trying to patent things that are a little bit a gray area if you can patent them or not. But as far as NAD precursors are concerned, what we're patenting really is the stabilization ability of that molecule. Okay, so what process we're going through to make it stable and bioavailable, so the skin can kind of absorb it. And what we're doing is actually we're making it nano-sized, and we're making it liposomal. Liposomal means that there is a kind of a that wraps each molecule, and you can think of it as slow release. Okay, so we're making it small enough for the pore to be able to absorb it. And we're making it so it is stable until it reaches where it needs to reach in the skin, kind of that gift wrap is being unpacked, okay? But, and that's a big but, most of the repair, now we have the fuel, most of the repair would have to happen from, you know, low levels of stress to the skin. So imagine if I broke my hand and my bone healed in the wrong way. I can give my body as much NAD as it can handle, but it's not going to go back and repair that bone if it already healed the wrong way. So we need to re-break that bone. And that is where those processes that we spoke about before, that is stress in order to create more collagen or whatever, that's where they come into effect. And by the way, that's how we improve them. Also the results, but also making sure that we're not depleting reservoirs that we need for later on. So you have a duality here. We want to create some of that damage in order to create repair, but we want to fuel that repair process as best we can. So after we came out with the NAD precursor product that is called CARE, we sat down at the lab and said, okay, we're seeing that higher levels of fuel, we see that DNA repair, but now how do we make the body repair the wrinkles that are already formed? How do we make the body kind of go back and disperse melanin, which is a pigment, more evenly? So we started making products that are, from a biohacking perspective, are doing that in a much more profound level that is existing right now in the market. So, you know, we spoke about retinol. We have an all-trans retinol that normally is going to leave people red, irritated, and flaky. That's actually called retinal dermatitis. But we've developed lipids or fats that are called biomimetic lipids. What we did is we mimicked the way that a fetus or a child develops their skin barrier. And we have matched these two technologies. And while the retinol is working, the skin's protective barrier, which is called stratum corneum, is being rebuilt. So out of 10 people, one will have to use it only 3 times a week. Most people can use it every night. And 3 out of 10 people can use it twice a day.
Okay. Wow.
And we're talking about retinol. Yeah, we're talking about like 0.5 trans retinol, which is quite intense.
Right.
So that's one product we've developed. So we have a product that is really what we call it. It's targeting a pathway that is called mTOR, which is a series of podcasts we can do. But mTOR really is, we can think of it as the sensor for stress, okay, any type of stress in the body. And we have a product that is a serum that interacts with that pathway and literally just tells the body, hey, you need to repair here, from the most fundamental point of view of what stress is and what repair is. And again, that product is revolutionary in and on its own, but it's not going to be working that well if we're not going to be fueling it with NAD. And the combination of two, we can see really skin behaving up to 20 years younger than its biological age until that point.
So for people listening, you know, just being conscious of time here, for people who are mm-hmm. listening, if there was sort of, because the science behind this sounds incredible, if there was sort of an intro product that you were saying, hey, to get introduced into Young Goose, and for everybody listening, I've never tried any of the products. I was just fascinated by this concept of biohacking and wanted to know more. Where is sort of the intro level that you would recommend?
So I recommend starting, and that's what we have a series of products called CARE, C-A-R-E.
Okay.
And they are all basically our, that's our base philosophy of like, you know, stress and fuel.
Okay.
So any one of those. So what we try to do in Young Goose is really look at the molecules that we want to introduce to the skin. But really what we wanted to do is to kind of wrap them around paradigms that already exist. Cream, serum, cleanser, mask, not to create some fluffy gel that you'll scratch your head and kind of not know how to integrate, right? So within the care system, there's a cream, there's a serum, there's an eye cream. Any one of those would be the one to go for because they're already going to fit into your routine.
Into your normal routine. Got it. So these are products. And I'm looking right here, right now, you know, they range, it looks like from, your cleansers are around $40. You've got your Pro Care is $220. But in that range, that is, I would say, an affordable luxury with scientific backed skincare.
Yes.
We see a lot of luxury products out there that are, you know, maybe not.
I wish, you know, something that we are proud of that, you know, within our small company, we're proud of. I wish I could tell you how many models of other brands, like advanced in age models of other skincare brands and owners of skincare brands, I'm kidding you not, use our products.
That's amazing.
Hilarious. But we are a very high price tag as far as a e-commerce brand. Okay. As far as a brand that you can only meet online.
Right.
But within that, we believe that every product that you're choosing, let's say you chose Care, which is our kind of the first product we came out with. It has the NAD precursors, resveratrol. It has like 10 other ingredients that are supporting those processes. We believe it is equal to like 3-4 other products by the amount of active ingredients you're paying or you're getting. So if you think of it, you're only paying for active ingredients. The rest is just fillers per se.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, before I let you go, so, you know, with some of this, and again, this could probably be another entire podcast on its own, but, you know, with any new brand, I have to ask, what sort of safety measures are here? You know, when we're talking about things where we are really affecting our bodies at a cellular level, how do we know that this is something that is safe to use, right? I've heard that with some of the stem cell creams, mm-hmm. that there's been some discourse on whether or not they can help, you know, they can be cancerous.
Well, I can give you my opinion about that specifically, but that's to your question. We do a few things. So first we do every product we come out with the first. So for example, the first study about our NAD precursor form that we're using, the first study that was conducted was a safety study. We're hijacking that safety study to look at different changes in the skin or satisfaction or anything like that. But the definition of the study is safety. That's number one, but that's very far from giving you the full answer because I'm going to just borrow, you know, electronic cigarettes, the whole thing that happened with like a couple of years ago with electronic cigarettes and people asking, how can the FDA allow, you know, if they know that vitamin E is so bad in electronic cigarettes and it can kill people, how are they allowed to put it there? So the problem is that when you're not heating up vitamin E, it's actually extremely good for you, right? The problem is when it's heated up, it goes through chemical changes. So one of the problems is not what we're putting in the bottle or any other companies putting in the bottle, is what's the process that's happening from the time it's in the bottle until it gets to the customer. So the first thing is our products are made in much smaller batches than other products that are comparable in the amount of, you know, cycle or revenue that we're doing. So we're trying to have a product not sit on our shelves more than 3 months, which, just to let you know, normal company, the standard is 2 years. That's number one. We, you know, our facilities are run at a very low temperature, things like that. And the packaging that we're using is vacuum inside. There's a vacuum, so it's called airless packaging. So it means that we're paying way more per bottle, but what it means is that there is no air that's contaminating the mm-hmm. product, even when you're using it, even when it's in your, in your bathroom. So every time you're pumping some air out, actually the flow raises instead of just air coming into the bottle. So there's never contamination, which is important also, not only for safety, but also for the efficacy of the product.
So have there been any sort of long-term studies? I know that this is kind of, NAD is sort of new in the common, conversations. Is there any sort of long-term studies on what happens when we are, giving our body sort of precursors to this to make it more bioavailable?
Yeah.
Or more available in our own bodies. Yeah. Has there been any studies on that? Not really.
Yes. The short. So actually something very interesting. So how many products with niacinamide do you know in the market?
Ton,
right? So the reason niacinamide is effective is because it turns into NAD in the end.
Got it.
But the problem is it's extremely ineffective and you're basically paying way more for what you're getting in the end. But niacinamide or B3 vitamin forms have been used to help, with certain types of dermal lesions, tumors. It's one of the most safe and effective ways to kind of improve skin health. And it has been for over 40 years, as far as I know. I might even be wrong with that, and it's longer, but that what we're doing is we're just creating a better way to create the same response that skincare has been doing for over 40 years. But to justify what you're saying is normally what's good for us, what's normally good for our cell as a cell is actually pretty good for cancer. Cancer, what it does, it kind of hijacks healthy mechanisms and morphs them into something that helps itself. So if normally it's very beneficial to bring more blood to the skin, whether it's through red light therapy, suction, whatever that may be, one of the main mechanisms that tumors grow in is hijacking that angiogenesis, that process of getting more blood to a tissue. Okay. So to say, we should separate the two subjects. We should be healthy. We should make sure that we don't have any tumors. And then, obviously use the best products that improve our skin health and our health as a whole.
I mean, it is clear that you know so much about this, and I would absolutely love to have you back on to dive into this even further. I should have asked you at this top, but what is your background? How did you get into this field?
So my background is both zero and everything. So, my life partner is a biologist, and that's my partner in the company. And that she's the one who kind of manages the science behind the scenes. But I've been an entrepreneur within the health and biohacking space for over 15 years now. And I have been an executive in healthcare systems for a while beforehand, because I have a military background. I was in the Israeli Special Operations. I've built teams within that field. So when I got recruited out of the military, it was for my team building ability. But right. Being involved in those areas for so long, you pick up a lot of the important pieces. And obviously now, I do know what I'm talking about because we've been dealing with it for so long with headed studies, et cetera. So it's important for me also to educate myself.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So yeah. I want to thank you so much, Amitai. If people want to know more about Young Goose, maybe more about the science, where can they go?
So obviously our website's the first stop. It's www.younggoose.com. But I really recommend our Instagram page.
Okay.
It's extremely informative. And we're trying to really educate people on everything that I've been talking about today. Obviously, way more segmented and way more interesting people and slides than myself. So I highly recommend our Instagram page, Facebook page. Instagram is young_goose_skincare. And Facebook, I think it's just Young Goose. But yeah, look for us there.
Wonderful. I want to thank you so much. I know there's a lot to digest here and we're sort of just touching on the tip of this. But if you at home have questions that you want me to pass on to Amitai or his team, I'm happy to do so. You can write me at hello@artbeautypodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Art Beauty Podcast. Was there something you wanted to say before we go?
Yeah, I forgot. We actually have a podcast that's called Biohacking Beauty.
Okay.
Which we dive really, really, really deep into those subjects there. So.
Oh, amazing. Well, then check out Biohacking Beauty. I'm sure that's available everywhere you can get your podcast. Yeah. But on that note, I'm going to say goodbye. I want to thank you all for listening. And as always, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Thank you very much.